City Council, regular meeting, September 26th, 2019.
The regular City Council meeting of September 26th, 2019 will now come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Arboleda.
Here.
Mr. Bishop. Mr. Davidson.
Here.
Mr. Haynes.
Here.
Mr. Walker.
Here.
Mr. Whedon.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Please stand for the invocation that will be given by Major Dave Davis and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you very much. Turn me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts and minds before you in this moment. We give praise and a heart full of thankfulness, Father, for the many blessings, for the freedoms and liberties that we exercise this evening. Father, we thank you for your continued blessing upon the men and women who serve on the many boards and committees that support our City Council. And so just now, Father, we ask your fresh anointing upon our City Council members, our staff, our manager. Father, may our city continue to be prosperous. May we continue to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Major Dave. We have before us the minutes from the September 12, 2019 regular meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Mr. Whitney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Move to approve the minutes for September 12, 2019 regular council meeting.
Second.
Okay, will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Arboleda.
Yes.
Mr. Davidson.
Yes.
Mr. Haynes.
Yes.
Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Whedon.
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change their vote? Motion passes, Your Honor.
Thank you. And the first item under persons to be heard is a proclamation declaring Senior Center Month. And we have our elder statesman, Mr. Davidson, who is going to read that for us, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Proclamation declaring Senior Center Month. Whereas September is a national Senior Center Month, and where every Alaskan is precious and has the right to freedom, safety, and dignity, and older Americans are a significant member of our society who invest their wisdom and experience to help enrich and better the lives of young generations. And whereas the senior citizens of Kodiak has acted as a catalyst for mobilizing the creativity, energy, vitality, and commitment of the older residents of Kodiak, and whereas through the wide array of services, programs, and activities, senior centers empower older citizens of Kodiak to contribute their own health and well-being and the health and well-being of their fellow citizens of all ages. And whereas the senior citizens of Kodiak have been providing quality services for 46 years and is the first senior center in Alaska to be nationally accredited and only one of seven centers to achieve four national accreditations. Whereas the senior citizens of Kodiak affirm the dignity, self-worth, and independence of older persons by facilitating their decisions and actions, tapping their experiences, skills, and knowledge, and enabling their continued contribution to the community. Now therefore, I, Pat Branson, Mayor of the City of Kodiak, do hereby proclaim the month of September 2019 as Senior Center Month in Kodiak, and call upon all citizens to recognize the special contribution of the Senior Center participants and the special efforts of the staff and volunteers who work every day to enhance the well-being of the older citizens of our community. Dated this 26th day of September 2019, City of Kodiak, Pat Branson, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. And we have Mr. Dave Blackiter here to accept the proclamation. And Mr. Blackiter serves on the Senior Citizens of Kodiak Board and served on the Alaska Commission on Aging for more than two terms as well. Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Johnson and the city council staff, but as I was listening to what the proclamation of there goes what I was going to say. But we are proud of our senior center here in Kodiak. Our hats off to Mayor Branson, who is also our executive director of the Kodiak Senior Center. For 31 years or more, has kept a consistency, a constant of going forward, keeping the building, writing grants, getting funds to keep the building up to date. And people love to come to the Senior Center because they can keep in touch with their friends, with human touch. And the programs you find that takes people to run them. We have a lot of people, of our seniors who volunteer there, as well as other places. And we're really proud. I've been on commission agents, so I haven't seen all the other senior centers in the state, but I've seen a lot of them. And of course, I'm kind of bragging here a little bit, but ours is the best, the nicest. There's some others that are nice. Close, but no cigar. There's some nice ones, some of them not. But there again, it depends on the leadership, and it goes off to Mayor Branson's behalf because she's pretty consistent in her drive and getting good staff. But we don't have a big turnoff over in our staff because we treat them right, and they want to stay there and they do a good job. They love their job because they enjoy it. It's a human touch. People deal with people. And people keep in touch with each other. They come to the senior center for lunch, and they keep in touch with each other, friends, you know. And so, also, as I come before the city and the borough, quarterly report saying that that the younger people, and we do all get older one time or another, believe me. I didn't think I would, but I'm getting there. But anyway, the thing is that we help the younger people coming up. We have people who come in who have relatives down south or someplace else on the mainland, and they want some help bringing them to Kodiak, you know. And so we point people in the direction. Maybe we can't help them directly, but we can be a network for them to help them do for the family or for themselves. I mean, I do advocate big strongly of educating people who are younger than 60 seems to be the cut of the beginning of the end. Well, never mind. But the thing is that people come up, they start thinking about retirement and what you're going to do. And I strongly urge, just like you're doing here in the council, volunteering is a big, big, fun thing to do. And when I retired from State Park, I thought, what am I going to do? Well, Major Davis helped me get started working with seniors. And the opportunities Pat's given me and others, that volunteerism is the way to go. And I thank you all for your volunteering on City Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, and thanks for your service as well as the board of the senior citizens of Kodiak for all their work. Anyone? Okay, now we'll go into public comments. And could we turn down the fan a little bit, please? It's pretty noisy up here. Thank you, Mike.
Awful.
There we go.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, now I'm going to open up the meeting for public comments. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. If there is anyone who would like to comment to the council at this time, please come forward, state your name, and sign in, or you may call in at 486-3231. Anyone wanting to address the council this evening? You'll have another opportunity at the end of our meeting as well. And you can call in 486-3231. Okay? There being no public comments, we'll go to unfinished business, and there is no unfinished business, so we'll go to the first item under new business, and that is the first reading of Ordinance Number 1390, authorizing a lease of property adjacent to Pier 2 with Petrol Star Incorporated, doing business as North Pacific Fuel. Could we have the staff report, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance Number 1390 would authorize the City of Kodiak to lease a portion of Pier 2 uplands known as Banner Rows 11 and 12 to PetroStar Incorporated, doing business as North Pacific Fuel. The parcel leased by PetroStar Incorporated is located on the northwest corner of the Pier 2 property, immediately adjacent to PetroStar's bulk oil facility at 715 Shelikoff Street. The 8,300 square foot area is used for storage, staging, and parking in support of their bulk fuel facility operations. The area is paved with a security fence around the perimeter. PetroStar has leased the parcel continuously since 1999 and desires to renew the lease for an additional 5 years. The current lease expired on July 30th. The annual rate from August 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2020 is $13,880 per year.
Thank you, Mike. What's the council's pleasure? Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Move to pass ordinance number 1390 in the first reading and to advance the public hearing at the next regular or special council meeting.
Second.
Is there any council discussion? Okay, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Davidson.
Yes.
Mr. Haynes.
Yes.
Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Whedon.
Yes.
Ms. Arboleda.
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change their vote? Motion passes, Your Honor.
Thank you. The second item under new business is the authorization to purchase CACH standard software for the total response system. May we have the staff report, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The fiscal year 2020 E911 Enterprise Fund includes a budgeted upgrade to the current PowerPhone total response system being used at the Public Safety Answering Point, otherwise known as KPD Dispatch. PowerPhone total response is both a training certification program and physical resource dispatchers utilize to deliver instructions to callers before the arrival of law enforcement, EMS, or fire responders. The current system includes 56 hours of certification training and physical manuals or searchable PDF documents containing instructions for different emergencies. The upgrade will not replace the certification training, but it does improve the dispatcher's call handling ability by replacing physical material with an interactive computer program. The upgraded PowerPhone total response software is called Computer-Aided Call Handling Standard. This system is designed to be integrated with computer-aided dispatch software, which KPD uses today, and streamlines the process in which dispatchers collect information from callers and relay it to first responders. CASH Standard contains over 82 emergency call handling procedures that prompt dispatchers to ask pertinent questions during different emergency situations and allow them to provide consistent direction to callers experiencing a medical emergency, police emergency, or fire emergency. Procedures can be added or modified to tailor the system to Kodiak's needs. This upgrade will cost $46,600.
Thank you, Mike. What's the council's pleasure? Mr. Davidson?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Move to authorize the purchase of CATCH standard software for total response in the amount of $46,600. With funds coming from E911 Enterprise Fund, machinery and equipment greater than $5,000 account, and authorize the city manager to execute the document on behalf of the city.
Second.
Is there any council discussion? Mr. Davidson?
Thank you, Madam. I just want to add that this is a very vast a mitigation to improve our first responders' responses to emergencies. And it can in some instances be life-saving. So my compliments to the two chiefs for securing these loans and by having this, to our system of upgrades. Thank you.
Is there any other council discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Haynes.
Yes.
Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Whedon.
Yes.
Ms. Arboleda.
Yes.
Mr. Davidson.
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change their vote? Motion passes, Your Honor, 5-0.
Okay, and the last item on our agenda for new business is the authorization of a three-year renewal of professional services contract with ACS for internet and telecommunication services. Could you have a staff report, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Going back to 2015, the city issued an RFP for enhanced internet and telephone services to increase the city's bandwidth to remote sites, provide a higher level of security, performance, and reliability while minimizing costs. The city received one proposal from Alaska Communications and updated the city's telephone and internet services. So today, the city is recommending that we renew the internet and telephone services agreement to maintain minimal costs and provide uninterrupted service to the city's IT infrastructure. The city's current internet connection provides services to all city facilities and infrastructure. ACS provides high bandwidth internet and wide area network connectivity to support data, video, and voice communications via an internet connection. ACS provides 10 megabyte connections to the pool building, Parks and Recreation Office, Harbor Office, Wastewater Treatment Plant, and the Public Works, and minimum 100 megabyte connection between City Hall, the Fire Department, and the Police Department. The cost of the citywide internet and telephone services is $9,359.80 per month, totaling $112,317.60 per year for citywide telephone and internet service.
Thank you, Mike. What's the council's pleasure? Mr. Haynes?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Move to authorize the three-year professional services contract with Alaska Communications for the internet and local telecommunications services for the city in an amount not to exceed $112,318 per year, with funds coming from the telephone account 450.115, the operating budgets of the general fund, the harbor fund, the water fund, the sewer fund, and the E911 fund, and authorize the city manager to execute the documents on behalf of the city.
Is there a second?
Oh, second.
Okay. Is there any council discussion? Okay, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Walker?
Yes.
Mr. Whedon?
Yes.
Ms. Arboleda?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Haynes?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change their vote? Motion passes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Next, we'll go to the staff reports, and we'll begin with the city manager's report, please.
Thank you again, Madam Mayor. The 2019 Alaska Steamship Response Passenger Ship and Port Facility Annual Security Exercise was conducted yesterday, September 25th at Pier 1. This exercise was to test the ship and port security plan. The focus of the exercise was access control. This exercise demonstrated teamwork between Kodiak Harbor staff, Alaska Marine Highway Ferry Terminal Facility, and the MV Tustamina. We got a report on that too, and I fully read the report yesterday, but I guess it turned out very well. The paving project on Von Scheele Way is complete. Thank you to those local residents whose traffic pattern was disrupted temporarily. Our office fielded no complaints. So Von Scheele is open. The city received notice today of another grant award. This is a NOAA Tsunami Siren Mitigation Program Award for $108,000 to be used towards siren replacement. This is the second award this year for siren replacement. Staff has already begun a draft RFP for complete replacement of the city's 12 tsunami sirens. So these combined grants will install up to six or half of our sirens. And lastly, next Monday, Sue Stout will retire from KPD Dispatch. Sue has worked as an emergency dispatcher for the past 14 years. She brings a wealth of experience to our newer dispatchers, and she will be missed. Thank you, Sue, for your service to our community, especially those in emergency situations.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions of the city manager? Okay, we'll go to the clerk's comments now.
Thank you, Your Honor. The next council work session is going to be held on Tuesday, October 8th at the library, and the next regular meeting is scheduled on Thursday, October 10th here in the Assembly Chambers. Absentee voting is still available in the clerk's office until Monday, September 30th. Election day is on Tuesday, October 1, and polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thank you.
Any questions of the clerk? Okay, we'll go to the mayor's comments. It's great to hear about that second grant, the NOAA grant for the replacing half the sirens. As the council, we put that as to be a priority on having all the sirens replaced at one time with newer equipment will certainly benefit every resident. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. I want to thank all the candidates that are running and to put their name out and to run for public office and serve the public, and also to all the election workers, because it's a busy day for them from 7 in the morning till 8 at night. And so thank them for their service. I just want to say one thing. I appreciate the Daily Mirror doing interviews with all the candidates, and you did a great job, Sarah. But I just want to add something that I gave in my interview that wasn't in the article, and I understand about space. But one of the things I did answer in the interview was what I was most proud of, and that's the city staff. They do an amazing job, and the longevity of them, I think, really proves how dedicated they are and what a great place this is to work. That's just indicative of good leadership, but I want to thank all the staff, and I'm very proud of what they do in keeping not just our capital projects and our infrastructure in order, but also all the operations. It's more than a full plate. Okay, those are my comments, and let's go to council comments, and let's begin with Mr. Walker, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, that's really great about the grant for the sirens. You know, we're all sitting here and all these meetings about sirens and where we're going to pull money here and there. Being that's the second one for half of it, that's awesome. Also to Sue Stout, wow. She's put a long time in there at the police station, and I wish her all the luck in the world on her retirement. Let's see here. By the way, Friday, 5:00, home football game, last one of the season. It's senior day or evening where they call out all the seniors that are on the team and their parents and all of that. So, but anyway, come on out to the ball field and watch Kodiak play their last game against Kenai at 5:00 on Friday. And with that, good night and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Mr. Davidson.
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to encourage our drivers to be watchful for kids. It's getting darker by the day, and also want to encourage our citizens to make sure they get out to vote and to prove that our community is better than what the past elections have been, that 17% and 21% or some low number. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Ms. Arbeletta?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, all day today I thought it was Friday. So I'm just going to leave it at that and let everyone know to keep chugging along one more day and have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arbeletta. Mr. Whitten.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm actually going to give an update, and it's going to be a little bit lengthy on the fisheries work group since we haven't had a meeting since, I believe, July. So if you just bear with me, in your packet here for council members, actually, if you can look at it later, but I asked the clerk to put in a letter from Kodiak Salmon Work Group, and it actually contains a resolution that they would like us to consider. So I'll start out by saying it was well attended. Mr. Haynes was there, also Mr. Smiley from the borough, and it was Mr. Smiley's last meeting since he's going to be leaving office. So I just wanted to recognize his efforts that he's done over the last several years helping chair the Fisheries Work Group. He's been resolute. Duncan Fields gave a really lengthy presentation on behalf of the Kodiak Salmon Work Group, specifically addressing the border fish issues that are before us. One is that the resolution that you have before you includes two parts. One is looking for support from the city and the borough to maintain the January meeting here in Kodiak. There's a move afoot to move that meeting to Anchorage, which would disadvantage Kodiak. So in that resolution, it asked for our support for that. And there's also 10 proposals in the current Board of Fish packet that, you know, all of them collectively would have a potentially really adverse impact on Kodiak. So they're looking for support for some of those. I'll just kind of give the highlight on some of those. I'll back up for a second. These are some of the things that the Kodiak Salmon Work Group are currently doing. They've engaged a scientist to study local warm water, high ocean temperature issues, specifically the 2015-2016 high ocean temperature. So they were recorded. They're going to do an economic analysis of the impact of the 10 proposals that the Board of Fish has on the docket. They're doing, interestingly, a video project that would show the faces of fishery. It would show fishermen, set netters, seiners, cannery workers, as a way to just a public relations piece to talk about, to look at the people behind the names of just people behind the scene who are impacted by some of these changes. They're going to do an assessment of invasive species, specifically the northern pike. There's some concern that in the Matsu drainage that the absence, in some cases total absence, of sockeye is due to invasive species, specifically the northern pike. So they're going to be doing some analysis of that. They'll do some GIS mapping that would compare current closure areas in Kodiak to the Cook Inlet areas and determine the scale and scope of those closures. And I think the indication was that the area of closures for Kodiak relative to Cook Inlet are significantly greater and have a huge impact on local local economy. One of the foundational principles of local management, salmon management, is to have the availability of local stocks, and they'll be assessing that. On November 9th, there'll be, to do community engagement, there'll be a fund and consciousness raiser, basically it's a banquet. November the 9th, I don't know exactly where yet, it's still be determined, but it's going to be a sort of celebration of salmon and an opportunity to meet and greet and just really talk about the importance of salmon to our community. And I think the last part is that they want to develop a list of all businesses who are impacted by salmon. And the question would be asked is, what would the impact of a 30% reduction of salmon harvesting and the associated revenue do to those businesses? And that's what these 10 proposals collectively could do, is potentially decrease our salmon revenue by 30%. If you don't mind, I've got a couple more to go through. Ann Robertson from Senator Mikulski's office spoke for quite some time. She said there were 5 spending bills that have been advanced out of committee to help ensure the government's funded in 2020. One of the primary ones is funding of NOAA. And she talked about the disaster declaration request has been approved for COD. There was a number floating around, but it's unconfirmed, so I won't repeat it. But there is... NOAA has approved the disaster declaration funding amount to be determined. The Coast Guard bill is awaiting consideration from the full Senate, so it's moved out of committee to the full Senate. On the pink salmon disaster relief, they're anticipating there will be appeals, but there will be no additional money for those appeals, but there is money set aside, taken out of the overall amount to deal with appeals, and there's some time frame involved in that. Then Representative Stutes talked about this again, the pink salmon disaster relief. And there's a couple of things she talked about, specifically the ferry and the impact to our community. Just come back to the pink salmon disaster relief. The paperwork is out in the various fishermen, qualified processors, and any other participants. And there's a deadline to get that information in, and then beyond that, there's a deadline to appeal. And if there's any questions, you contact Senator Representative Stute's office. But that deadline is looming, and I believe it's the end of next month. I think it's the 31st of October, but I would check with her to be sure. And Carla Bush from ADF&G spoke on behalf of Rachel Baker, who is the fisheries person of ADF&G. She talked about pink salmon disaster relief and the deadline for appeals. She talked about the state process. This is important. She talked about the state's priorities in the upcoming North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting. The primary issues that would impact us locally would be the observer program, and there's going to be analysis of the fee structure for the observers. And in essence, what's happening is NOAA, coming from Sam Rauch, is removing all funding, federal funding, for the observer program, and that burden would now be placed on split between processors and harvesters, and it is actually a significant amount. They're looking at increasing the percentage from 1.25 to up to 2% of ex vessel value to assess that observer cost. So it's going to have a significant impact on the fishing industry. There's continued work to do the electronic monitoring, which would eliminate the human interaction, having a human observer on deck, but having a means to electronically monitor activity on deck. That's still moving on. I think the rest of the issues are not so much Kodiak specific, although the last one, number 5, is specifically Kodiak related. That the state has come out and said that they will not move forward anything to deal with Gulf rationalization for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And there's no support for that, and certainly with the new administration, that nothing's going to get done in the next 2 to 3 years. So that's, in essence, is off the table. Mm-hmm. Then Julie Boney for AGDB, Alaska Groundfish Data Bank. Talked about the council meeting next week in Homer. I think it's the first time, I think for a long, long time,
First time ever.
She also talked about some of the same things that Carla Bush from ADFG talked about. In essence, the NOAA eliminated $1.6 million funding for the observer program, and that burden is being pushed back to the industry. She again talked about the cod proposal in the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, and the potential rationalization of that fishery. And then Nick Sagalkin from ADFG also gave an update, and his real comments were based on some of the most interesting were that the low water, warm water issues around the island and their impact on fish mortality and how that impacted escapement and everything else. But he did say for the most part all fisheries met their escapements with the exception of the Iapula Kings. So all in all, it was a really, really comprehensive meeting. It almost went for 2.5 hours, I think. Michelle was there. She was there for every minute of it. But it was a really, really good meeting. I think it was good for us to re-engage. It's been 3 months. There's a lot of issues coming up before us as a community. And so the intent is to be able to bring back information for you, especially things like this one from Mr. Fields that, again, I would ask for your consideration. We do need to get that into our process to see if we can push that forward. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten. Thanks for that report. And the clerk has that information as well, so we can schedule discussion on that resolution. And thank you, Mr. Whitten and Mr. Haynes, for serving on the Fisheries Work Group. Well, and I'll go to Mr. Haynes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And our next work group meeting, I couldn't remember what. 16th.
17th.
Oh, 16th. And they are interesting meetings. Anyone who has an interest in any of these issues, you learn a lot at these meetings invariably. Also, I would like to encourage people to come to the Consolidation Committee meeting. It's coming up on Monday, 30th September. We already had an introductory meeting, but we didn't really cover any significant ground. This will be the first one in which we really start to delve into it. And we're going to look at the different types of municipalities that could be formed. And we're also going to look at a report, and talk about a report from 1989 about consolidation. That essentially, it pretty much mirrors what we're looking at now, but it was 30 years ago. And the other thing about that is, even if you don't have time to come to the Consolidation Committee meeting, and I do suggest you do if you do have time, but the borough website is very accessible. If you go to the meetings there, you can click on all of those documents that we'll be studying too. And the consolidation report from 1989, even though it's very dated, it's like deciphering a Dead Sea Scroll, because for some reason it was typed on a typewriter and not all the letters came through. So it looks like something that's been partially redacted. But you can, for the most part, you can figure out. It's like a puzzle as you go along too. But it does go through a lot of the same things that we're going to be going through. But again, our task on the Consolidation Committee is very simply to fill out the form that we do turn in to the state for consolidation. So that's what we'll be doing, and as we go through the form, it's going to take us years, literally, to fill it out. But we're going to learn more and more about what consolidation might mean for our community. And I still think we need to ask the question what it is that we're trying to accomplish with the consolidation. I think that's the most important thing to keep in mind as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes, and thank you for that last comment because go ahead.
I did have one thing I wanted to mention. We did learn so much at our fisheries, our fish work group meeting today, and one of the things we learned about was the salmon disaster applications that were going to be going out, and Representative Stutes did mention that she has pointed out some flaws, really some, frankly, some errors in the way some of that is calculated, some of the calculation. For some of the fishermen, and you're going to look at it and probably think, well, this is wrong. And there is an appeals process, and they hold back a certain amount of money knowing that there are going to be appeals. And if you think your calculation is wrong, they have a process that you need to engage in. And don't forget that. And also, this is the first time.
Deadline too.
Right, it's November 15th, right, your deadline for that. And this is the first one that will have a crew component as well. So if you crewed on a salmon boat in 2016, you need to make sure that your skipper has your current contact information. Because what your skipper's going to do is he's just going to put your name on the form that he fills out, and then they're going to send you a letter based on the information they get from the skipper's form. So it's very important that your skipper that you work for has your current contact information, and then as a crewman, you'll be getting your form later on, and then your appeal process will be trailing behind as well. So it's, you know, it's kind of interesting to make sure that everyone engages, and maybe we'll finally get this dispersed. Thanks.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, if I can just follow on to that, is that there was some quite a bit of discussion about how the allocation process, distribution process of this Pink Salmon Disaster Relief Funds was, and it was constructed by the Walk administration, and I think that actually even Carla Bush, media FNG, said that they learned a lot. I think it was a nice way to put it. But now when they can start looking at the COD disaster relief, and since that now is moving forward, that they believe that they will be able to do a much, much better job, and I think hopefully speed up the process once the money starts to become available, that the lessons learned from the Pink Salmon Disaster Relief, and they hope to not repeat a lot of the mistakes. And as Terry mentioned, a lot of it has to do with some of the language in the allocation process, and they hope to clean all that up and make it more streamlined.
Okay, thank you both for that information, and hopefully people will be following up on that. Just a note, and speaking about salmon, there is a Salmon Life celebration this Sunday, 4 to 8, at Fort Abercrombie for families, and I'm sure they'll have fish and music, and it's always a fun event. Also, I'd like to welcome the Alaska Historical Society and the Museum Conference that's here. So, excuse me, I went to a reception last night, and the three directors of our three museums spoke. The Alutiiq dancers were there, and also the marimba band, but there are people from all over the state. They have some very interesting sessions. I know that Tim Troll is here. He did one on the Spanish flu outbreak in Bristol Bay in 1918 today. So I didn't get to go to it, but my husband did. So there's a banquet tomorrow night, and the city is going to be receiving an award for our collaboration with our Alutiiq Museum, the History Museum, and the Maritime Museum. So there's another thing I'm very proud of. So, okay, we'll now go into the audience comments, and if you'd like to speak before the council at this time, please come forward, state your name, sign in, and you may also call in at 486-3231. Any audience comments at this time? No phone calls? Okay, on that note, may I have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Davidson?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Whedon?
Yes.
Ms. Arboleda?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Haynes?
Yes.
Mr. Walker?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change their vote? Motion carried, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. The meeting is adjourned.